2248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Steve Kathan. Prosecutors outside Boston are detailing a gruesome murder case now that they've charged a man with killing his wife.
Rather than divorce, it is believed that Ryan Walsh dismembered Anna Walsh and discarded her body.
Assistant DA Lynn Beland says the accused also searched online about body decomposition. WBZ TV reporter Nick Giovanni.
Brian Walsh was seen on surveillance video at a Home Depot buying $450 worth of cleaning supplies the day after Anna went missing.
Now to Minneapolis, where an attorney for Derek Chauvin is trying to get his murder conviction tossed out, citing legal and procedural issues during his trial. William Mormon says one of the jurors participated in at least one rally after George Floyd's death.
I think if jurors are not fully forthright in the juror questionnaire, then it's not possible for counsel to know, to inquire into those areas in any depth.
Chauvin, who was in prison in Arizona, also pleaded guilty to a federal civil rights charge. CBS's Scott McFarland says there will be court action today in the case of a failed Republican candidate who police say took his unfounded complaints about the results to a violent level.
Solomon Pena lost his race for the New Mexico State House in November and, after his defeat, made baseless claims of election fraud on social media. Pena, according to police, after his defeat, executed a conspiracy with four others to fire bullets into the homes of four local Democratic officials. None of them was injured. Pena appears for an initial court appearance this afternoon near Albuquerque.
The government says retail sales fell last month and producer prices fell from the month before. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
Although we know that the economy is slowing down, this is more evidence that the Federal Reserve's campaign of raising interest rates is working. The real question is it working too well?
Microsoft says today it's slashing 10,000 employees. That's nearly 5% of the workforce. A cake or tray of cookies at the office. What could be wrong with that?
Susan Jebb is head of Britain's Food Standards Agency. She says we're all bombarded with ads and gestures that encourage unhealthy diets and overeating. And though we might all think of ourselves as strong enough to resist temptation, she says, quote, if nobody brought cakes into the office, I would not eat cakes during the day. But because people do bring cakes in, I eat them. The resulting health hazard, she says, should be equated to passive smoking. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
Checking Wall Street, right now the Dow is down 425 points. The S&P is down 43. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Do you know what people see when they Google you? Search engines don't always get it right. And when they're wrong, it's your reputation on the line. So what do you do when you don't agree with your search results? Call Reputation Defender at 800-401-6681. Reputation Defender by Norton is one of the most trusted names in online reputation repair. We have over a decade of experience in fixing people's search results, and we can help you too. Using cutting-edge approaches, Reputation Defender pushes unflattering information down to lower pages of your search results, where few people ever look. We also promote the good stuff so that it rises to the top, letting you put your best foot forward. Your good name is too valuable to leave to the whims of a Google algorithm. You owe it to yourself to take control with Reputation Defender. Visit www.reputationdefender.com or call 800-401-6681 for free advice on your situation. 800-401-6681. That's 800-401-6681.
Light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net and scores.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Thursday, January 19th. In Wood County, the Golden Sands Resource Conservation and Development Council Incorporated will hold a series of meetings by teleconference. First, the Finance Personnel Committee will meet at 9 a.m., followed by the Forestry, Agriculture, Wildlife Committee meeting at 10:15 a.m., along with the Water Resource Committee also at 10:15 a.m. The Regular Business Executive Committee meeting will take place at 11 a.m. The Marshfield Fairground Commission will meet at noon at the 2nd Street Community Center in Marshfield. In Portage County, the Groundwater Citizens Advisory Committee meeting will take place at 7 p.m. at the Portage County Annex. The Stevens Point Historic Preservation Design Review Commission will meet at 6 p.m. Focus Neighborhood Meals has their free sit-down dinner tonight from 4:30 to 6 p.m. at 2321 West Grand Avenue. All are welcome. And that's the news update on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at midnight tonight and continues until 6 p.m. tomorrow evening. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with highs around 34. East winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. 27 tonight, snow showers likely. Snow showers likely tomorrow, 33. 5 to 10 inches of snow tonight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 34.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
Competitive I am. I saw it goal. Prick me to start giving blood. They tell me that there's been a contest to see who can fill up their bag the fastest. I saw it goal. 5 minutes, 4 seconds. I got done and I said, did I win? And I said, you were the fastest all day.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the 1 o'clock hour of our Hump Day Wednesday show. We're going to test the boundaries, I think, today of our listening audience. Feel free to join in the conversation, because I think this is something that we don't talk about enough. And we're going to get to that. Don't worry. But first, coming through in our last segment, someone had thoughts on the 10, being able to name 10 trees?
Yes. This was from a Guardian article. What it was, the 100 ways to make your life better. And the Guardian says you should be able to list off 10 trees that are native. And 507 texture says, as a tree lover, that was really painful to listen to. I think they mean you should learn to recognize those trees. It gives you a greater appreciation for where you live, which is great and accurate. Wisconsin has over 125 native tree species.
Thank you, 507. Yeah, sorry. Thank you for continuing to listen. And that,
even though that was painful,
I will do better.
We will.
We commit to doing better.
Absolutely.
Of understanding the nature around us and learning more about the trees and the bushes and
the beauty that surrounds us.
Speaking of beauty, so I should preface this that I am very comfortable with this word. I probably not, if you didn't know this about me, probably won't find it surprising. In college, I was a part of the sexual health education program, which was, I have some funny stories maybe I'll tell in this segment as far as being a part of the program that we were in charge of going and giving a presentation on different aspects of sexual health. And then I liked it so much that even once I had been working for a couple years, but a couple years after I graduated, I was living in San Francisco. I then opted in to go through 60 hours of training to be part of, to volunteer
wow.
for the San Francisco Sex Information Hotline. And so, like, I am very comfortable with anatomical words, but not everyone is. And I brought this story up because, you know, this is not a, it's not particularly a Wisconsin story, but it's a universal story. Half the population tends to have one of these. A lot of the population that doesn't have one enjoys them.
I'm just going to let you do this all on your own.
So, Mayor of New York City, Eric Adams, who, you know, since he's been elected, I do not live there. I know less about him but he every once in a while has some of these hot takes, and he's I think he's an interesting mayor, and he has strong opinions. And I'm very on board with his message for this, but I think the whole message of it, he's right in how bluntly and proudly he's saying vagina in order to talk about women's health and how and why that word makes us a little jumpy. So let's play a clip of his speech promoting the new renewed effort to make, in his words, New York City the best place for women's health.
If men could get pregnant, we wouldn't see Congress trying to pass laws restricting abortion. Women are the majority of the healthcare consumers. Many suffer from preventable health conditions, yet face more constraints and discrimination than men when it comes to getting care. They are diagnosed on average 4 years later than men across more than 700 diseases, and sometimes must wait up to 10 years or more for the right diagnosis. Think about that for a minute. A decade for the right diagnosis. Vaginal discomfort is one of the top reasons women go to the doctor, yet they are misdiagnosed more often than they are correctly diagnosed. To be clear, that is worse than a coin flip. We would have a lot more research and care options for women's health if we weren't so afraid of saying the word vagina.
The best part, so I got this article from Jezebel, which is a fairly feminist publication.
Very much so.
And the way that they start the article is, if you stare into a mirror and say vagina three times in a row, Mayor Eric Adams will appear and deliver a speech about women's health in New York City. Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary. So, but I think it's important because I do, as he, and he's very seriously is stating
some disturbing health statistics.
There's some very disturbing health statistic when it comes to the discrepancy between women's health and men's health, especially women's reproductive health. And I mean, there's so much of the medical history for years, for decades, when they were doing studies and tests on treatments and prescriptions, women were never in those studies
at all.
And so there wasn't even a conversation around, well, maybe this affects women differently. Maybe we should have a variety of people. But it's the same thing that goes with different races, different sizes. And I am team Eric Adams on this issue of if everyone, because actually in the speech, the part that we, I don't think we have the clip for this, but he literally says, he's like, if we can talk about erect... I'm going to say it. There's nothing wrong with it. Destigmatize it.
We see ads for it all time.
But he says, if we can talk about erectile dysfunction, we should be able to talk about clitoral stimulation. And I'm laughing about it because it's like, it's something that we are so bad at talking about. We're so bad at sexual health education in this country. And it leads to bad health outcomes. And so I felt like I pinged this to you last night and I said, are we talking about this? And you said yes.
I did.
So you're here and you said, how does this make you feel?
Again, I think this is very much a generational thing.
Okay.
It makes me uncomfortable.
The word itself. Is it just because it's a bad word?
No.
Like, it's just phonetically you're like, eh.
No, it's more of those, we don't talk about those things.
Okay.
You know, in public. Shh.
But we do. But the thing is, we talk about the other sex's genitalia with not the same kind of discomfort, right?
But isn't that part of...
We make lots of statues that look like that.
Ah! Part of that, is the shame, embarrassment, we don't talk about lady parts. I think...
You're down there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're going to get to slang terms a little bit later this half hour, which is hilarious.
Yes, slang terms for that, but also slang terms in general that are outdated. But if you have thoughts, and I'm hopefully people are still there and we haven't turned everyone off and they've moved on to different things to listen to, 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. Because I read this article, and I think there is something. I feel like this is a speech you would be more comfortable hearing from a woman politician. And there's something about him and his kind of like gruffness, like I was a New York cop, and that's like a little. It's not off-putting. Like I said, I'm glad that he's talking about it and it's so blunt about it, but we're so not used to it. And so there is something headline making about this and about this topic. And I don't, have we ever talked about vagina monologues?
I think we did briefly
once.
Because
you were in it once,
I was,
right?
I was in it
in college. And yeah. So which monologue did you do?
I did several. I did the moaning.
Nice. Nice.
It eventually turned out really well.
Oh, yeah. Because that was the story. Like your first, because you were doing it with a bunch of
pros,
like professional actresses.
Yeah, they were professionals.
And you came in, and at first they were a little judgy on your delivery.
Oh, they were like, you're not really going to do that on stage, are you? I mean, they didn't say that to me, but so I went home and I reworked the whole piece.
Because what was your approach? Were you doing it more as a joke rather than like actually committing to it?
I wasn't committing enough.
Okay. You weren't actually in the mind of someone who professionally makes women moan?
Right.
Got it.
And
so you
got
the character.
Yes. So I found the character, yes. Yes. But even that show hasn't been around now for... Is that still touring?
Oh, that's... Well, it doesn't tour so much as you buy... And it's coming up. I mean, it's almost always in February. At least college campuses. It's always on... It's V-Day.
Oh, that's
and
right.
And so it's always on and around Valentine's Day. And you purchase the rights and all of the money that goes that you... The buying the rights goes towards is different nonprofits and organizations that specifically violence against women and girls nationally, internationally. Eve Ensler.
Yes. And it's a wonderful, wonderful piece.
And
very funny, very poignant.
Early 90s when she first wrote it. So this conversation, and it was so much around exactly what we're talking about, is people, including vagina owners, not being comfortable talking about it and referring to it as they're down there and having no relationship with it and being very disconnected from it. And so the whole show, which is just a series of monologues, was built off of thousands of conversations and interviews that the playwright Eve Ensler had.
With women from all over the world.
Yes. And that now it's to this day. I mean, I would imagine at Berkeley, they're still doing it. Like that was a big deal. It was one of the biggest... We had one of the biggest and like most well-attended annual productions of it, I think, across any campus in the country.
And I remember distinctly that my male co-host at that time was repulsed.
Really?
That I was going to do it. Yes.
I want to ask you more about that off air.
Okay.
Because
that'll be in the book one day.
So I would love for you to join the conversation on this because it's obviously I'm having a great time because I appreciate things that should be more comfortable to talk about that historically have not been, but it is something that is so linked to our health and we should be more comfortable with it. And so if you have thoughts on this topic, I don't even know exactly what my question is. I guess my question is, does this make you uncomfortable?
Or what's
Does this conversation right now make you uncomfortable? What are you going to ask?
And what is your preferred slang term?
That too. That's a more fun one. All right. 844-967-2789. We are going to keep this conversation going when we come back from the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, don't tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's to Wisconsin winter traditions, celebrated year after year.
Hey, check this out.
To lighting up a frosty night with fireworks at Fish Creek Winterfest. Here's to cheering 8,000 skiers across the finish line at the American Birdie Biner in Hayward. And to snow sculpting magic at Winterfest in Lake Geneva. Plan your winter getaway at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. Voice from Manitowoc to Janesville, WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. Thank you for joining us today during the 1 o'clock hour. We are having a very, I find, fun conversation. Jane, are you having fun?
It's interesting. I don't think you're wrong. I really don't. And like I said, I find it to be a very generational thing. And I also think this is yet another example of what massive hypocrites we are, because we sexualize everything.
Mm-hmm.
We are surrounded by sexual images. It's used in most of our advertising. We are surrounded by sexuality all the time. And then when it comes to talking about it in the medical sense, with the actual terms that stand for these body parts, we're like, ew, I can't, ooh.
But we're also, it's, yes, what you say, it's like the visual of sexualization, but the actual understanding of anatomy,
it's an entirely
big disconnect.
Oh, whole different thing.
And so we asked before the break, largely one, I think if there is a slang term that you use for the word vagina, or whether or not this conversation of even talking about it makes you uncomfortable. And this all started from Eric Adams, mayor of New York City, gave a speech in the promotion of their initiative in the city to improve women's health, in which he said all these new initiatives that they're doing and trying to shorten the gap and the discrepancy between health outcomes for men and women. And he very blatantly said, he's like, we should be more comfortable saying the word vagina. So we are having that conversation. So 844-967-2789. You can feel free to text in if you don't want to be on the radio, but also call in. Because I think it's a good conversation to have. And so...
We have Ron on the phone, okay, who wants to join us. Whoops. Ron, thank you so much for calling. What do you want to say?
Hey, first of all, I just want to say you guys have a great show. I come for the Q-in songs, but I stay for the fun. and this is pretty fun. I just want to say, as a man, I identify with a lot of what you're saying, just in terms of my own parts, but also... the parts of my female friends and my wife, it's awkward, you know, because I was raised when I was hitting puberty, I was told, you know, you're not supposed to talk about those things.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point my mom sat me down, and not my dad, but my mom, and kind of told me a little bit about the birds and bees and handed me a little book that had been handed down through the family, through the generations. and it was called What Every Young Man Should Know.
Nice.
And we still have trouble, you know, doing I didn't understand any of this until I got to biology class years later. But, you know, there's just this total, and it's an Americanism, that's this total discomfort with pointing to something and saying, that wobbly part is called a penis, or that part over there, that squishy part over there, is called something else. And
maybe a labia?
So we make up all these, pardon?
I said maybe a labia?
Yeah, there you go. If you can spell it. But you have to keep coming up with these euphemisms. And, of course, then we have a culture that makes fun of other people. Men had, when I was a boy, a teenager, and even in college, a lot of sorts of shame about guys picking on other guys about the size of their equipment.
Yeah.
You know, or I could do this, can you do that? Or have you done this with that? You know what I mean? There's all of that sort of thing. But the female experience was a complete mystery to most of us until we actually met and became involved with and listened to the women in our life, or the girls in our life.
Ron, I just find it so interesting that your mother is the one who sat down to have the talk with you and not your father.
Well, he was a strong guy in many ways, but he was kind of a nervous wimp in some other ways. I mean, I love the guy, but he was a classic guy who grew up in the middle of the 20th century and was embarrassed to talk about these things because he was raised not to talk about
them. Yeah.
And it's really hard to break these youthful habits and youthful lessons. And again, a lot of people don't want their kids learning about any of this stuff, wobbly parts or whatever, in biology class in the sixth grade forever, you know, so that makes it harder still.
Absolutely. So, thanks so much for the call, Ron. That was super valuable. And I feel like we need to add wobbly parts to our list of slang
euphemisms.
We're going to get to that later in today's show. Because I love hearing a man's perspective on this of feeling like he also, both for the opposite sex, but also for yourself, of like, how do you refer to these things? How do you talk about these things? And it's like, it is part of your body. And it is things that need to get, not only for like the sexual side of things, but like it is also for us where the baby comes out.
And some major health things go on around there.
And so if we can't talk about it, if we're not even comfortable talking about it, how are we supposed to be comfortable talking about it with our kids? And so we don't have enough time to do it right now, but we're going to, when we come back, I think the actual like anatomy of it, and this video has been done multiple times, but we have the audio from one of the videos I've seen on a young woman, young, very, very young. She's in like her 20s, and she goes around and asks men. She has a printout of a female anatomy of a uterus and a vagina and the ovaries and everything. And so it's that view, and just asks a handful of men if they can point to where the vagina is on this diagram. And so, we're going to play that when we come back. Think about it for yourself. Could you find it? If you were approached by a random stranger who had a camera on them, do you think you would buckle under the pressure, or do you know which number on the diagram it would be? I almost made Mike do this last night and film him, and then I decided he's the butt of my joke enough, and I wasn't going to put him on the spot like that. So stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
If you're worried your friend may be struggling, remember, you don't have to be there to be there.
You could say how are you or get a fake tattoo. You could ask with an app if it works for you. You could write him a text or knit him a sweater. If you can't be together, you could write him a letter.
Whatever gets you talking. Whatever. if you try.
Good chat on the game, kick off your flip-flops. You can ask on your couch while you binge watch. However you do it, you gotta ask a friend. And if they don't share, you can ask again.
Whatever gets you talking. Whatever gets you talking.
Reach out to a friend about their mental health. Learn how you can help at seizetheawkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Less calories and fat, and oh so delicious. It's what every light bread wants to be. Leave it to the bakers of Village Hearth to have the perfect recipes that pack goodness and flavor into every package while still keeping it trim. With Village Hearth light bread and buns, you can lighten up on the calories and fat without losing out on the great taste. There's simply more to savor and nothing to sacrifice. With our light wheat, light 12 grain, and light Italian bread and buns, there's a light, tasty favorite for everyone in the family. Village Hearth, baking our best for you.
I'm John O'Hurley, and I support Paralyzed Veterans of America because our heroes have sacrificed so much for our independence.
I had just come home. I had noticed my legs were swelling. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed. PVA has brought me back to life.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. It left me paralyzed. I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 75 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to never leave a fallen hero behind. That's why Paralyzed Veterans of America is providing specialized medical care, life-changing treatments, benefits our heroes earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need. Our paralyzed veterans have helped us live the lives we enjoy today. It's our turn to give them the best lives possible. To learn more, go to pva.org today.
Parents make a lot of promises to their kids. We promise to be there every step of the way, especially on those wobbly first steps. We promise to always keep them safe. I mean, nothing's more important to us than that. And now, all kids 6 months and older can get a COVID vaccine. So we've got another way to keep that promise.
We can do this. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. In Wisconsin Rapids, the westbound lane on the East Riverview Expressway is closed between 1st Street South and 2nd Avenue South. The Holtger Brothers utility contractor is installing fiber optics. Traffic will be shifted to the inside westbound lane of East Riverview Expressway. The closed lane is expected to reopen by Wednesday, January 25th. The Wildwood Park and Zoo in Marshfield is mourning the death of Smokey, an almost 12-year-old timber wolf. Preliminary findings show he died of a heart attack from natural causes. Smokey had been with the zoo since 2015 when he was transferred with his two siblings, Malachi and Luna. Zoo staff say Smokey was always a favorite of visitors because of his beautiful coloring and silly antics. He was often the first to howl back at sirens, and he will be greatly missed. The other wolves in the pack are adjusting well, but will continue to be monitored by zoo staff. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at midnight tonight and continues until 6 p.m. tomorrow evening. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with highs around 34. East winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. 27 tonight, snow showers likely. Snow showers likely tomorrow, 33. 5 to 10 inches of snow tonight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 34.
Thank you, Mayor Eric Adams in New York, for getting this all started.
So, Karina, we got Karina on the call.
Karina is on the line. Karina, what do you want to say?
Well, couple things, ladies. Since I'm coming from a little bit different culture, the cultural shock of America is that you don't expect that Americans have such a problem with the naked body, period. It's either vulgar or screaming a fashion. And when you're going down to the level of a family, some people would say, oh, my parents had sex only twice because we have only two kids in the family. So it's absolutely hypocritic. And it, I think it's coming from our families at it, because it shouldn't be a subject of a shush. We're not talking about it in front of kids, or we're not talking about it in front of family. And having sex after you got married is kind of not even existing. So how you expect that the kids would feel comfortable being talked to about something where you're not even touching that topic at all until they get to the puberty?
Yeah,
so I think that if overall, it's more of a shocking and a street experience and the knowledge for people, and then they just accommodate it to social norms. But yet, if you go to a beach, you can't be topless. What happened? You never seen a breast before? Why you cannot be topless? Is it vulgar?
Yeah,
why is it not accepted?
The attitude in Europe is so much different about the human body.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's remarkable.
Thanks so much for the call, Karina. You said we got a couple texts?
We do. Checking in from the 323. That's your old stomping ground.
Yes, it is.
Don't fear or have shame about genitals. That's for Republicans. And Tom from Stellis, checking in. Tom from West Dallas just says, great show. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks, Tom.
Really appreciate it.
So, as we said before the break, we're going to play this. So you have to visual, because obviously there's a visual that goes with this, but I just think it's, so if you can imagine any biology class or anatomy class of what, and maybe you don't know this, and that's part of the problem, so you should Google this, just not when you're driving, of the female reproductive system.
It's a basic diagram.
It's a basic diagram that includes the parts. There's the fallopian tubes, the ovaries, a uterus, a vagina, and there's different like lines on it that point to a number, and if you're taking a test, it's like, name these parts. So, a young woman, a very prominent TikToker, I'm pretty sure she probably made this around the time that Roe v. Wade was getting overturned, so I think it's within the last couple months that she made this. You know, it's like, I think she lives in LA, so she was out on like a Saturday or Sunday when people are day drinking, and she goes around and asks men to point to where on the diagram a vagina is.
Do y'all ever wonder, do men know? Well, today we're going to figure that out. Can anyone tell me where the vagina is on this diagram?
I don't know. It took me a couple of times to find it.
Trick question. That's not a vagina.
There is a vagina on this diagram.
Five.
Incorrect.
Is it a men's pelvis?
At the very bottom.
Which number?
Actually, probably at the top.
I think 4 through 5.
No, those are all different things.
It's 3, right?
Don't
answer that.
Okay. 4.
No, you were so close. It's 3.
I told you to say, you said 3. Why'd you say 4?
That's a cervix.
No.
I'd imagine number 4.
Incorrect. That would be the vulva.
Vulva.
Okay, so collectively, y'all have guessed every part except for where the vagina actually is. Okay, could you tell me what number 1 is, though?
I dare not, because this is going to be on record forever.
Period.
Someone asked me, someone slid into my DMs back in end of June, early July, asking me to do that exact
bit
with our Republican legislatures in legislators in Madison. I was like, first of all, I don't think any of them are going to talk to me. But it does make you wonder.
It does.
For the amount of people who are making laws about it, how would they do on that test? I don't know. But again, if you are... I'm going to say it. I might get in trouble. We have a new program director, so we'll see how he feels about this new segment. Hi, Bill. But it feels like one of those things. It's like, if you're gonna have relations, sexual relations with a body part, maybe you should know where it is, what it looks like, how it functions. Maybe it's a little bit more than it seemed like. At least those guys understood.
Well, yes, and certainly, if you're going to legislate said body part, you should know more about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, but it's funny because, to transition this a little bit, but I think it is a really fascinating conversation, and it feels like we're getting some other people also think it's interesting. So who knows? Maybe we'll have a monthly sexual health. Maybe I'll bring back my sexual health credentials.
See,
so this is. I will tell this story before we get into some of the slang. That's fun to think back because, like, this word is old, and words for it are old.
And for both male and female.
Yes. But I'll quickly tell this story because it's one of my favorites of my time of being a sexual health educator. So I was not in a sorority, and there's no judgment about being a sorority, but when I got there, I was in Vagina Monologues, and I was a bartender, and I had my friends in other places. And I also just felt too old to pledge because I was a little bit older.
Sure.
But I, being part of the, it was called SHEP, Sexual Health Education Program, and there was one sorority, Kappa, which was one of the stereotypical, like, really pretty popular girl sororities. And all the sororities and fraternities had to at least once a semester or once a year have either the alcohol, like alcohol education,
sure,
or sexual health education, maybe one semester and the other. It was a long time ago. So I know, because I'm a bartender, I know a fair amount of girls who are in Kappa. I've been in classes with them. And so we sign up and are like, I'll do the Kappa one. And my partner, because we always did presentations in twos, mm-hmm, was a lovely woman, young woman, but very awkward. Very awkward. Certainly not of the, she didn't hang out with, like, sorority girls. And there was a very different type of person. And so we walk in, and I didn't know what, like, the Monday night meetings for sororities are. I did not know what I was walking into. So what happens is they have these meetings, and at least at Kappa, but I think in multiple sororities, you have to dress up.
Oh, wow.
Like, they have to wear, like, dresses. So I walk in, because I have to go to bartend later, in, like, it's like a white tank top, like, beater type shirt, and, like, boyfriend jeans that I probably should have been wearing a belt. Like, I am not dressed up. Let's put it that way.
So you didn't stick out at all.
And I walk in carrying a 3-foot diagram of a vagina. Just like the ones you get from Walgreens that are like the threefold ones. And I walk in and I make eye contact with one of my friends from a class. And she just, like, starts shaking her head. She's like, oh, man, good luck. And we proceed to do our routine that goes through actual the health part. Like, this is the anatomy. And then we go through different parts about not getting pregnant and contraceptives and different disease, like STIs, yeah, if you can get. And then we ended with sexual pleasure. And, like, we had brought sex toys and stuff. This was the three parts of this educational program. And I'll never forget, and I think I bring up the story because I think it goes to this. When we got to birth control, how many questions we had. How many hands shot right up in the air of clearly women who are, young women, who were having sex, who were trying to not get pregnant. And then we got to sexual pleasure. Not a single question. Not a single question. And I just, that always stuck out to me as far as what, as young women, we are told to, I'm a little bit older. It might be different now for Gen Z, but, like, the empowerment, or, like, you're clearly having sex, but are you having fun? I don't know. You know, and, like, no one talks, like, you're not really talking about it,
right,
and not being comfortable enough amongst your peers, your quote unquote sisters, to ask about it. But yes. And
I have to think that it's got to be worse for young men, because I don't, and this is.
Oh, to, like, ask questions.
Right.
Yeah.
And certainly not of each other.
Yeah.
Because wouldn't you be opening yourself up for mockery? Do you mean you don't know that? What do you mean? Like, our caller said, you know, I would just think.
Well, I mean, this is really getting, maybe, yeah, I'm not going to send this. Now, should I go for it?
Well, let's.
Yeah.
We're obviously going to be coming back to this.
We are obviously going to be coming back to this. But I think it also, I think you're right, and it goes to a conversation we've had at least twice, is then where do they go? They go to porn.
Yes, which is not a good place.
Which, yeah, and this is not a judgment on porn. This is a judgment on learning about sex via porn.
Right.
Because porn is not real life. Anyways, you want to hear some? So here's a fun fact of the etymology of the word vagina.
Okay.
It is a Latin word meaning a sheath, like a sheath for a sword.
Oh, Okay.
So can you tell that men name it?
Oh, well, didn't they name everything?
But yeah. And so obviously, what was the sword in the analogy of where that word comes from?
I think I'm following.
Yeah. So, but that's not to say that over the timeline of slang words began back in 1250.
Wow.
And do you want to guess what the at least on record, what this, because this comes from the Jonathan Green, who has dedicated his life to studying slang. And so his book, Green's Dictionary of Slang, this is coming from that. It's one that's pretty derogatory now.
For male or female?
Female. The Brits and the Australians say it a lot.
Oh, it starts with the C.
Yeah, see you next Tuesday. But that was, at one point, that was like, that was just what she called it.
Wow.
It was not a derogatory name for something. But then they became a little bit more poetic. Venus's honeypot.
Okay.
From the this is the early 1700s. Quim whiskers. That was the late 1800s. Then in 1900s, that thing.
Well, that's really nice. So personal.
The minds of vagina label innovators apparently turned to food by the end of the 20th century, as evidenced by bikini burger.
Oh, man.
Hairy donut. And a bacon sandwich.
We do have a clip from a Netflix series called Grace and Frankie.
Great show.
Yes, it is a wonderful show with Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin. And this is just a brief clip when they decide that they're going to go into business making vibrators for older women with arthritis.
We're making vibrators for women with arthritis.
Yes, vibrators.
Brilliant.
Please let my water break. Oh. I think I just blacked out.
Oh, grow up. Older women masturbate too.
Mom!
And we have vaginas.
Why is it every time my family gathers for a meal, someone has to bring up my mother's vagoo?
Just say woodle like a grown-up.
Okay.
Woodle?
I've never heard woodle.
I know.
All right. Well, if you hated this hour, I'm sorry. I'm not really sorry, but I get it. I hope that you loved it. I really liked talking about it. I think it is, I genuinely, jokes aside, do think it's important to talk about.
And it
I
is
think
important.
In the rare air that Jane and I swim in of women who have a talk radio show, especially in Wisconsin, there's not a lot of us. And so I don't see this topic happening on other shows. And I think it's important. So I'm happy.
It's part of life.
And you're only a couple shades of red.
Good.
Good.
Then I did pretty good.
All right. Well, we are going to wrap up the show when we come back. This has been very fun. But yeah, we're still taking your texts and your calls. So we still have 10 minutes left in the show. So feel free to give us a call or a text. 844-967-2789. I got lost in my own thoughts. All right. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Say, when you hear the call, you got to get it.
Remember when you could turn on the radio and hear a song you'd never heard before? A song that would make you tap your feet, snap your fingers, maybe get up and dance a little? A song that once you heard it made you say, that's a surefire hit. Those days are gone. Or are they? Tune in on Sunday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. and catch Seth Faces the Music on WFHR. The premise is simple. Every week I pick a theme and find songs that fit the theme. It's so simple yet so, so good. Join me, won't you, for Seth Faces the Music every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio WFHR.
Hi, I'm E.J. Williams. Each year, millions of animals are abandoned and more than a million are euthanized before they can be rescued. Organizations like American Humane are working to harness the healing power of the human-animal bond, as animals can be trained as life-saving service and therapy dogs to help veterans, the elderly, and children with special needs to overcome the obstacles of everyday life. To find out how you can help give animals and the people they help a new leash on life, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
This is your land, and you love it. Every day you look out your window to watch the wildlife, who also call your land home. The animals who bring life to your land. You know their daily and seasonal habits, what they eat, and when their young are born. As a caring landowner, you can't bear to think about what might happen to them and to this special place in the future. Your dream is for your land to remain this way forever. The Wildlife Land Trust can help you. Keep your land free from development forever and protect the animals you've come to know so well from hunting and trapping. As part of the Humane Society of the United States, the Wildlife Land Trust preserves wildlife habitat and safeguards the animals who rely on it. Without such protections, your dream, your land, and its wildlife could be lost forever. If you have land and wildlife that you want to see preserved and protected, the Wildlife Land Trust can help. Call 1-800-729-SAVE. That's 1-800-729-SAVE. Or go to wildlifelandtrust.org. Your dream, our mission.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. Wisconsin, WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. A reminder that we love hearing from you. So if you have a topic, maybe something about sexual health.
Great.
Is there, that's a great question. Which school district do you think is doing the most comprehensive, accurate, helpful sexual health education in Wisconsin?
Wow.
I don't think you know, but if someone knows that, or the worst, that's a way to bring it back to Wisconsin, but does not have to be sexual health related. It can be anything. We love hearing topics from you or guest ideas for guests to have on. You can always shoot us an email at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. And final reminder for today that we are a week away from the $1 million advertising giveaway of Civic Media, literally giving you free ad space. So if you have a small business, if you think you would benefit from some airtime to promote your business, you should mark your calendars for January 26th, Thursday. So it's a week from tomorrow, 9 a.m. And you go to civicmedia.us/million and you'll answer a couple questions. And then you'll work with our sales team to help you figure out what even goes into a radio spot. So definitely do that. But when you're there, just remember, you got to tell them. What did they tell them, Jane?
You heard it from Jane and Kristen.
Jane and Kristen sent you.
Yep.
Very important to put that part in.
It's a point of pride.
All right. So
we have a nice texter that checked in after our last couple segments about proper terminology for genitalia. And a texter from 414 says that was some very entertaining radio, ladies.
Yes.
So thank you so much for that.
So we're not done yet because we did the slang terms for some female anatomy, but it's only fair. It's for the penis slang timeline.
So many.
So it begins in the year 1300.
Wow.
The first known usage of the word bollocks.
Bollocks.
Ballocks. Ballocks. B-A-L-L-O-C-K-S.
Oh, B-A.
B-A. Not bollocks like, oh, bollocks.
Bollocks. Ballocks. Oh, interesting. Okay.
With my Wisconsin accent.
Nice.
And it had longevity. So you can still find it on the lips of frustrated Brits even today. Is this something that Paul's ever said? Is that bollocks?
It's B-U-L-L.
Yeah. With a slight vowel
yep.
adjustment. Yep. So longevity. So then English speakers only got more creative from there. Fiddle, spindle, pulling prick, all cropped up in the Middle Ages to describe the penis, while bushwhacker, cranny hunter.
I'm still stuck on spindle.
Well, like a spindle on a, like, when, like, what, Rapunzel.
I get what you're, okay,
with,
okay.
Rumpelstiltskin.
Yep. Yeah,
what
yeah,
was
yeah.
her name? What's the girl's name in that fairy tale? But she was spinning straw in a gold.
With her hair.
In the spindle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, that's Rapunzel. Yeah, never mind. We're not going to fight about that. All right. So fiddle, spindle, pulling prick. Cranny hunter is really something. Fornicating engine.
Wow. When was that from?
I don't know. I'd have to look at the book. This is just, I actually feel like this book would be really fun to get. This is a book from Jonathan Green, and it's called Green's Dictionary of Slang. And so that book, it sounds like, is slang, not just sexual anatomy,
but all kinds of
all kinds of slang,
right?
But this is coming from that. So the fornicating engine is really something, Captain Standish. And I'm sure there's more. I mean, the thing is, like, if we actually really wanted to go there, I'm sure there's a lot of slang terms today that are not necessarily have. They're newer.
Yes.
But there is still plenty of them.
Oh, yes. Oh. One of my favorites, and this is from an old radio bit that we used to do, and she was a comedian in New York, and her mother used to leave her voice messages. And it was they were just hilarious, depending upon what was going on in her daughter's life. And she would leave these voicemail messages for her, and then she would share them and play them. And she milked this out for quite a long time. But she always referred to a man's penis as a schmeckle. And I've
is that
never
Yiddish?
I think it is Yiddish.
I mean, it sounds like it would be Yiddish.
I just think that's always been my favorite and preferred slang because I think it's funny.
Say it again.
Schmeckle.
Schmeckle. Yiddish is an incredible language.
It is.
There's so many fun words of just words that are like, that had the good mouthfeel.
And they sound funny and they are funny.
Schmeckle.
Schmeckle.
I'm gonna schmeckle.
Schmeckle.
All right.
S-C-H.
Can't wait to use that with Mike.
S-C-H-M-E-C-K-E-L would be my preferred spelling of schmeckle.
What was it? You couldn't remember the comedian's name?
I can't. I'll do, like, yeah. This is decades ago. When we still left voice messages for each other on answering machines.
Yeah. You know what's funny? Do you ever, this is a tangent. Were you a Seinfeld fan?
No.
We, every once in a while, for like background noise, we'll put on Netflix because they're all there, like a Seinfeld episode. And when you start from the very beginning, because that show started in 1989, he had a service. He didn't have a machine. He had an answering service.
Oh, wow.
And so like that, at some point, it was people's jobs to take your message.
Yes.
When people tried to get a hold of you, and then you would have to call them and get the message from them. Because it wasn't like a machine at your house. Isn't that wild?
Well, and that's a carryover from the 60s. That was happening in the 60s where you had a service and you would call in for your messages. That's really old school.
Well, think about an operator who could just also like listen to all of your conversations.
Yes.
It was just like, oh, I'll put you through.
Most powerful person in the office, man, the operator.
Yeah. And so, well, this was, I had a lot of fun. I had so much fun. And it seems like other people had fun. If you are offended by this segment, do not email us. Email info@civicmedia.com.
It shouldn't. These are medical terms, yes, people, that we should all be comfortable with. And as Karina said, we are the most awkward people in the world, just as far as how much we love sex, but we don't actually want to talk about what's really involved with sex.
Yeah. Yeah. Certainly different in Europe. Sounds like it's different in Russia.
There's just a lot
less
more
about the conversations around sex in Asian culture and different Asian cultures.
But certainly Europeans are much more comfortable with going naked to the beach. And it's not a thing.
All right. Well, I hope you have a wonderful Wednesday. That is about going to do it for us. But if you want to stick around for Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, our friend Dan Schaefer is joining the show at 2:30. If you're listening to WXCO in Wausau, then you have the Chad Holmes show coming up next. And for us, that's our Wednesday show. Greg Bach will be here next Wednesday if you missed him. But we will be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. to do this again. So this has been As Goes Wisconsin. Have a great day. Everybody's chilling as I set up the groove. Pumping up the volume with this brand new beat. Everybody's dancing and they're dancing for me. I'm your operator, you can call anytime. I'll be your connection to the party line. I'm coming up, so you better get this body. All right, class. Let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock. and saw all these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him at the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Wow! Awesome!
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah.
We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond.